In this episode of the Dynamic Astrology Podcast, I talk about my journey through the monasteries of India and Nepal and the meditation retreats I've attended. We also go around the signs in 60 minutes with a live audience and talk about the gone right and the hilariously gone wrong traits of each of the zodiac signs, as well as how they are in love. Enjoy.
Any shy and retiring fire signs in the house tonight? Raise your hands. I can see one right over there. Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. Okay. Shy and retiring. I never thought I'd see the day where I met a fire sign that was shy and retiring, but okay, we'll go with that. Water signs. Raise your hands. Pisces, Scorpio, Pisces. Any water signs without an alcoholic beverage? Really? Are you teetotal? That's amazing. You've got to be the first water sign I've met that's teetotal. I take my hat off to you. Pure side of water sign. And Capricorn, Taurus, or Virgo. Don't be shy, you're in safe hands here. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Earth signs, for taking time out from world domination. We appreciate you. And air signs. Perfect. Aquarius, Libra, okay, Gemini, perfect. Well, thank you, air signs, for taking your time away from your search for constant stimulation. We appreciate you being here. Thank you all for being here. Now, before we begin, I would like us to take part in a little collective meditation, if that's okay with you. So would you mind putting your phones on to do not disturb? If you are an air sign, especially Aquarius, that's probably your permanent go-to anyway. If you could put them on to do not disturb for the next 45 minutes, I'd really appreciate that. Now, does anyone know the difference between mindfulness and meditation? The difference between mindfulness and meditation is about £500 million. The mindfulness is big business these days. And if you are a meditation teacher, I don't mean to offend you, but it's really important that you're not part of the problem. I would suggest 3 Vipassanas, the 10-day silent meditation retreats, just so that you can become the teacher that you're meant to be. Meditation is actually free, and mindfulness is a £500 million industry. Anyway, without further ado, meditation, I'm really happy that you didn't say was to clear the mind, because so many people believe that meditation is to clear the mind. And when I speak to people, they say, I can't meditate. Listen, if you clear the mind, you're clearly dead. Yeah, it's impossible to clear the mind, even for 30 seconds. Meditation is to recognize the nature of mind and to stop the thoughts from being so discursive so that they don't rule your life. Right? So this is called Anapana. Oh, Anapana, Anapana. Okay, all you want to do is roll your shoulders back, close your eyes, and focus on your Cupid's bow for the next couple of minutes. I'm going to play a really beautiful chant for you called the Offering Chant, and I just want you all to focus on high vibrations for this evening. Okay, so without further ado, I play you this chant. Thank you. good evening, everybody. My name is Caroline. My friends call me Carolina when I'm working with angels and Devilina when I'm not. There's going to be a bit of both tonight. I really love my job. I really love my job, except when I go to dinner parties and that dreaded question arises, you know the one. What do you do for a living? I usually read the room and check for muggles. And I say, if there are muggles in the room, I'm a writer. Never in the history of that question being asked have the questions actually stopped there. And they usually pull it out of me and extract the fact that I'm also an astrologer. Here we go, I think. And then comes the question, how's Uranus? How's Uranus? Okay, I've never heard that question before, like not. And what I feel like saying is, what I'd really like to do is stick the moon up your but technically speaking, that's impossible and I'm a facts-based gal. Besides which, Uranus has got 27 of its own moons and is way too busy to be bothering itself with one more arsehole. So I go down really well at dinner parties, depending on who you're getting. Carolina or Devilina, make sure it's very specific who you invite. Now, before we set sail around the signs, which is what I'm sure you're all here for, I wanted to share a little bit of my journey with you. Perhaps it will help you, but hopefully it will inform you, and perhaps you'll even find it interesting. If I can keep a Gemini's attention, then I'm doing very well. Any air sign, in fact. So I began my spiritual journey about 20 years ago. Is anyone here on the spiritual path? Raise your hands. I'd say you pretty much all are if you're here and you're interested, to be honest with you. The one thing I'll say about the spiritual path is that it's like being dragged through a hedge backwards. Thank God for hair salons, right? You can see why I haven't become enlightened yet. You're supposed to give up on all worldly things. Here I am. As you can see, I've given up. Not. Now, I first started out about 20 years ago, and back then you would think that I had absolutely everything. I had a wonderful partner, I had a beautiful son, had a lovely home, I had a great job, but there was something missing. I wasn't happy, and I started searching. I've also been incredibly intuitive. You can test me on that later if you want to. I've also been incredibly intuitive since I was a child, and I had prescient dreams from the age of 9, the ones that I can actually remember. My whole journey was learning how to manage this intuition and turn it on and turn it off and actually be of service to people and use it in a good way. Now, I started studying meditation, and then I came across the Tibetan Buddhist monks, and that is when my journey really began. You know, Jay Shetty was a monk for a year. I think it was a year, I'm not sure. Also, Andy Puddicombe, he was also a monk. Although we're all supposed to have given up on worldly gain, and Andy Puddicombe raked in 50 million last year, so I'm not sure he got the memo. Anyway, he's sharing meditation with everyone, so he's doing a good thing. But anyway, the point is, yeah, anyway, moving on. So the first retreat I ever did, my teacher told me that I needed to elevate my consciousness, learn how to train my mind. It's called Lojong. It's mind training. And I needed to train my mind so that I could elevate my consciousness at the point of death. Because at the point of death, you can learn where you want to put your consciousness, whether you want to go to nirvana, whether you want to be reborn, and you can actually control it in that way. So a lot of the time when you're having an argument with your mother and she turns around and says, you chose me, she's actually right. Yeah? Does anyone's mother ever say that? My mum says it to me all the time. You chose me. Technically speaking, you did, but you weren't actually in a state where you were choosing consciously, let's just say, unless you've got an amazing mother, and I do, but she's also a pain in the ass Capricorn. Sorry to Capricorns. Anyway, so the first, with Aries, Moon and Mars and Aries, you can imagine that one, right? So anyway, the first retreat I ever did, one of the teachers was telling me that if I wasn't careful, I could end up being born in a lower realm. And by the lower realms, they meant in the animal realm. Now, I love animals. I don't even eat them or fish because I love them so much. If I did eat animals and fish, I'd probably be a size 0 because it's like carbs, pasta, potatoes, like gnocchi if you're lucky, and a risotto with a bit of mushroom on the top. But anyway, I digress. My point is, I couldn't believe that you could actually reincarnate in the animal realms. Huh. So I had a bit of an argument with the teacher there. And then I thought about it, and I thought, actually, there are some really, really shitty people in the world. And it makes sense that actually, perhaps they used to be flies in a past life. So they are no more than reincarnated flies, right? And in a past life, they used to eat shit. Now they just talk shit. It kind of makes sense to me, right? Because, I mean, there are some really shitty people in the world, right? So anyway, that was my first retreat. The second retreat, I went to India for a month and I volunteered at a soup kitchen. I'm talking about spiritual ego here, you know the one. Oh, I'm so enlightened. Yeah, that was me in India. I went to the Kajimonlam in Bihar, and Bihar is not Bali. It's the roughest state in India. The little Airbnb that I was staying at, the owner used to lock himself in at night and get high on opium, right? So it was absolutely crazy there. And the poverty just really upset me. I was volunteering at a soup kitchen. But the point is, the teachings I went for were incredible. I read a book called The Dance of 17 Lives. I can highly recommend it, by Mick Brown. He's a journalist. He works for The Telegraph. It's called The Dance of 17 Lives. And when I read that book, I wanted to meet all those teachers. I was like, it was like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. So I was so happy because I managed to get a place at Turgar Monastery, and there were only 2,000 places, and there were hundreds of thousands of people at this event. It was to pray for world peace, and I'm really grateful that people are actually doing it, because we kind of need it, right? They do it every year. Hundreds of thousands of people meet there to pray for world peace, and I love that. So anyway, I got a ticket to Turgar Monastery, 2,000. I was so chuffed. My ego was all puffed up like a peacock. I was like, yeah, I'm really special. I got a ticket. It was like, you know, the Charlie the Chocolate Factory, the Willy and the Wonka, Willy Wonka and the golden tickets. I was so chuffed. So anyway, I dressed all in white. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in India they dress in white when they're going to funerals. Did not get that memo. All dressed in white, in linen. Walking through the fields with the other group of pilgrims, thinking I'm amazing. And I was chatting away to the group that I was with, and I stepped on what I thought was a hill. It was the biggest cow pat I have ever seen in my whole entire life, and I had a pair of Havaianas on. I literally put my foot through the cow pat. It must have been a mile high. Slight exaggeration, but not much. Anyway, I pulled my foot out, and there wasn't one bit of crap on me. All the people that I was with, they were like, oh, that's a sign. That's really fortuitous. That's a good omen. That's amazing. So me, spiritual ego takes over. Oh, yeah, it just goes to show, doesn't it? They can throw as much shit at me as they like, and I'll still come out smelling like a rose. With the last word, as I said it, I tripped on my flip-flop and landed straight in it. That's the thing. When you're on a spiritual journey, right, truth, as I'm sitting here now, no one could make this shit up. Literally, the shit, right? I landed in it. So what I'm trying to say here is, the minute that you're on the spiritual path, fortunately, karma speeds up. Has anyone found that yet? Oh, yeah. But the good thing is that we need to expiate our karma in this lifetime so we can come and have a bit of a chill the next time. Don't know about you lot, but I'm going to meet you all in Nirvana, right? And we're not quite there yet. Not even a rung on the ladder, I'm not. So anyhow, so I landed in the cow pat. And of course, that wasn't a good omen at all. I had two choices. I either went back to my room and hung out with the open smoking junkie in my Airbnb, not Airbnb, sorry, there wasn't even Airbnbs there. It was 2009 in the B&B, or I went to the teaching. So I decided, you know what? These teachers are militant. If you miss one teaching, you're off the course. So I went, covered in poo. And I sat there, and that was actually amazing. But one thing I did do, the Karmapa asked if anyone had any questions, and he wasn't going to read out 2,000 questions. And at the time, I was working at Psychic TV, the live TV channel, and I wanted to take something back for the viewers. So I wrote a question, and I said, listen, in the West, we are really struggling. It's an absolute shit show there. This was at the time of the financial crisis. People are worried, they're losing their houses, everyone's in turmoil. Have you got a message that I can take back to them? Anyway, he opened my question. I wasn't going to dare say that I was special out of 2,000 people to get my answer. I learned my lesson in big time. I just shut my mouth. So he read it and he said, tell people in the West to take refuge in a higher vision. Take refuge in a higher vision. And amongst all of this babble and chatter, that's probably the best bit of advice I can give you, because it didn't come from me. It came from someone who I do believe is enlightened, and believe me, I've met them all, the seventh sister of a seventh son, all of them, I've met them all. He was enlightened. So anyway, that was India. Then I got back, and I'm also I'm a coach. I use astrology to coach people, and I do work on my mind. I'm not sure if you find that hard to believe listening to me now, but I absolutely do. Especially when I'm working, I take it very sincerely, but not too seriously, because at the end of the day, none of us are going to get out of this alive, right? If I can't laugh, I don't want to work with people, right? Because life's too short, agreed? Yeah, and people that take themselves too seriously, I can't be arsed. Too old now, do you know what I mean? Done all that in my 20s. Sorry to all the 20-year-olds, yeah, you got all that to go through, lucky you. Although you're way more militant than we were when we were your age. So my point is, so I came back from India, and I decided I'd had enough of the TV channel. I threw my iPhone in the Thames and went and lived in a caravan on a beach for a year and wrote a film. That was the best year of my life. I had a little analog phone. No one could find me. Middle of nowhere. It was great. Anyway, then I came back and I started working with people, and I thought, I got to make sure, because when you've got intuition, you've got to discern the difference between intuition and fear or ego. Now, intuition is very quiet and it's like monotone. So you can only access that when you're quiet and your mind is still. So I decided to go and do a Vipassana. Now, has anyone here done a Vipassana? Amazing. I couldn't see anyone else. Anyone else? Okay. Has anyone here heard of the Vipassana? Okay, so the Vipassana is hardcore. It's a 10-day silent meditation retreat. You hand your phone in, and basically you have to hand your phone in when you walk in. You're not allowed any contact with the outside world. It's you and your mind. You're not allowed to speak, and you meditate for 12 hours a day, but they teach you how to meditate. And on the third day, it's called the sitting of great determination. That's the Vipassana. You cannot move. Now, I don't know how many people here meditate or try and meditate. Quite a few. It's quite hard to sit still, isn't it? Nose starts itching, feels like there's eyes, flies in your eyes. You start thinking about what you're wearing, whose phone are you, what's on your phone, your emails. I mean, it's pretty crazy, right? So anyway, the third day, now flip this back to my Tibetan monks. I spend quite a lot of time at monasteries, right? They call me Sammy Ling Spice Girl. Excellent. Not too sure how I feel about that. But anyway, that was years ago when I used to go jogging. Anyway, so the point is that so on the third day, you're taught the sitting of great determination and you don't move. So because what they say, and it's true if you think about it, all our suffering comes from attachment and aversion. Aversion to suffering and things that we don't like, and attachment to pleasure. So we chase pleasure and avert pain or anything or anyone that we don't like. Whereas the Vipassana method teaches us to become equanimous. So we sit and we basically let it come, we let it pass. Now, back in my days at Sammy Ling Monastery, I used to smoke loads of marijuana. I started smoking weed when I was about 14 years old. So my point is, I digress again, I'm telling you a bit much here, aren't I? My friend's just like shaking her head here. It's all right, it's all right. I can trust them, I can feel it, right? So the thing is, right, I used to smoke shitloads of marijuana all the time, only because I wanted to turn off my intuition. I didn't want to know what someone was thinking. So as soon as I smoked a joint, it just calmed and I was just so peaceful and I loved it. Anyway, the monk said to me, I didn't smoke at the monastery, you're not allowed, although they've seen it all, right? Because magic mushrooms grow in their field, so you can imagine what they've seen, everything. Everything, and none of them bat an eyelid. They're so zen, it's unbelievable. They've had people tripping in the monastery, the whole lot. Do you know what they said when someone was off their face on mushrooms? Someone go and find him a joint. Enlightened monk, yeah. So anyway, the monk said to me, Caroline, you have to stop smoking marijuana because it's really bad for your mind. And not only that, if you learn how to meditate properly, you will reach the same, you can reach the same, notice that word can, you can reach the same high through meditation that you reach through smoking marijuana. Anyway, third day, Vipassana, my whole body started to vibrate. I'm not kidding. It was amazing. It felt so amazing. I cannot tell you. And now I know, a little shake and a move, that when I meditate, I can actually make my body vibrate. But here's the sucker punch. I'm supposed to be meditating to avert pleasure. Like, go figure. Like, how don't you think that's a bit of a sucker punch? So it's the point is that if I meditate and I'm trying to make my body vibrate, I'm actually chasing pleasure and missing the whole fucking point. Excuse my French. I'm very good at French and I speak Spanish as well, although it's more like Spanglish. So that's my point, right? So the Vipassana, when I came out of there, I could hear the monk whispering in my ear, I told you, I couldn't stop laughing. Now, bear in mind, I'm with 80 people. None of us are allowed to look at each other, right? You're supposed to go inside yourself and I'm absolutely hysterically laughing. They thought I'd lost my mind. Literally, they thought I'd lost my mind. Anyway, that's my journey around some of the monasteries. I have also I also took 4-year vows, although I didn't shave my hair off like Jay Shetty and Andy Puddicombe. And I can tell you this, that I've got Pisces midheaven, and it was more difficult for me to give up alcohol than it was sex. Anyhow, moving on, shall we? All right, let's move on to the signs. Now then, I wanted to keep this quite light and also deep at the same time, and I hope that I'm managing to do that, but, you know, give me a break. This is my first set in 5 years, so I haven't actually been out of I haven't done anything. All I've been doing is in a cave writing, so you'll have to forgive me if I'm a little rusty. Now, I wanted to start with Aries, because Aries always likes to go first. Agreed? Now, I wanted to also tell you how to piss the signs off. Right, remind me of the Aries in the house. Franklin. Where's Franklin? Is he still here? No. I can see you. Any more at the back? Aries. Okay, how do you piss an Aries off? Would anyone like to know? Go slow. That's it. Aries is ruled by Mars. Mars is the god of war. Has anyone here ever done their full charts before? Okay, how many people know more than just their star sign? Okay, perfect. So your full chart, there's always Aries going on there somewhere. Gone right, it's where you're super passionate, you're dynamic, you're the innovators, they're leaders, they're learning how to lead by example, Aries. We've all got a little bit in our charts. They're actually here to motivate the rest of us. That's their job in life. They're the motivators of the zodiac. And we've all got Mars somewhere in our charts, and that shows our energy, our basic engines, and our drive. Now, Aries gone right, you want them on your side. I know people say that they're disloyal, but that comes from ancient mythology. They're actually super loyal when they're ready. But they are the most competitive sign next to Leo in the zodiac. They cannot help it. They literally cannot help it. All you have to do is wind them up and let them go and make them compete against themselves to be better versions of themselves than they were yesterday. Now, gone wrong, they have really bad tempers. So if you know anyone who's got a bad temper, they basically have got Aries gone wrong going down in their charts, right? And also, they can be very passive aggressive. And I actually think that anger is more honest than passive aggression. I can't stand passive aggression. I'd rather someone just lose their shit for 5 seconds. And if you're an Aries and they burn their bridges, they burn bridges. I worked with one for 4 years and I used to say to him, you need to, he's here. I used to say to him, you need to go and take a little break because I can see you're about to burn some bridges and I don't want it to be mine. Go on, off you go on a holiday. FOMO. Aries in love is a different kettle of fish. They're super exciting, super passionate, but I will tell you this, and I am going to be a little bit rude here. They have to come first in every single thing that they do. Fast and furious. If you're looking for foreplay, you need to go and find a water sign. Am I right? I'm right, aren't I? Any questions on Aries? Have I missed anything? No, everyone's been very quiet tonight. You've all been very well behaved. I reckon we should have a drink at the bar first, don't you reckon? Loosen up, guys. I promise I won't hurt you. Should I go back to being who do you want, Carolina or Devilina? All right, here we go. Okay, so I'm going to stick with the fire signs because I don't like that Aries, Taurus. I'm going to do it any way I like. Is that okay? I'm Aquarius. I'm a little bit of a rebel, as you can tell. So my next one is Sagittarius. How to piss a Sagittarius off? Shall I tell you? Confiscate their passports and make them stay in. Two of my bestest friends are here tonight. They're Sagittarius. How to piss them off even more? Well, actually, Sagittarius and Aries are probably the signs most responsible for climate change. They're going to kill me. Yeah, confiscate their passports and make them stay in. Sagittarius is the ninth sign of the zodiac. Nine is a really powerful number in numerology. It's the sign of spirituality. And actually, the majority of Sagittarians I know are deeply spiritual, but they're also very, very clever. Really clever. They have this knowledge, but they have to relearn the knowledge. Otherwise, it turns into ignorance and bigotry. If I've met some Sagittarians gone wrong, and they're really, really, really bad news. Sagittarius gone right, two of my best friends in the world. They're amazing. Except do not ever ask them something if you don't want the truth. I'm serious. They shoot you in the eye with that arrow. Do you know what? The archer. Have you seen their glyph? The archer. That arrow is an arrow of truth, let me tell you, and they're going to shoot you right in the eye with it. Does my bum look big in this? Don't bother. Ask a Sansarian. Oh, well, you know, yes, but maybe you could wear a jacket? Sagittarius says, yeah, girl, you put on weight. What happened to you? You need to go on a detox. What's up with you? You look much better than this 6 months ago when I saw you. All right, all right, all right, all right. Put your bow back in. Sagittarius, am I wrong? I'm not wrong. Okay, so what else? Sagittarius in love. Okay, right. Now, the Sagittarians I know are actually incredibly loyal and they are faithful. The Sagittarians gone wrong are not faithful and they're not particularly loyal. They like a different partner, yeah? A bit like Aquarius, doesn't matter, men, women, them, whatever, right? In every single port. Because they are stimulated by their need for freedom and excitement. I get really dirty looks here. They're right at the front. God, it's hot in here. Woo! Fine, gonna get a shot later. That tongue, that arrow. I'm not wrong though, am I? I mean, bring back Caroline. Okay. And then the next fire sign, Leo. How many Leos are in the house tonight? Perfect. Okay, we've got two kinds of Leo. There's the very shy, noble, retiring type. And then we've got the other kind of Leo that is how to piss them off is to basically tell them that you didn't notice them there and wear the same outfit as them, right? There's two kinds of Leo. And I know the very noble beasts, kings of the jungle, and I also know the other ones. I mean, there was someone literally pirouetting around an airport. Look at me, look at me, look at me, my friends. And I said, guess what sign she is? Leo. Guess what sign she was? Leo. Do you see what I mean? There's two kinds of them. Leo is the fifth sign of the zodiac. Coco Chanel was actually a Leo. Chanel number five. Yeah, everything was number five. Coco Chanel was a Leo and she had loads of Aquarius in her chart, which is why she was quite really pioneering and innovative and rebellious as well. Now, Leo is the fifth sign of the zodiac, is ruled by the sun. We all have the sun somewhere in our charts, also known as the star sign, which is also the ego. So gone wrong, it's our ego. Gone right, it's our self-identity. And when we learn how to manifest the gone wrong and gone right traits of our star sign, we shine with brilliance. Any questions on Leos? Shall I move on? I think we've done the fire signs now, haven't we? Tick, tick, tick. Who should we do now? Oh, Leo in love. All right. Okay, right. Leo in love is actually super, super loyal. They are really loyal, and that's not just a stereotype. The thing about Leo is they need a lot of attention and they need a lot of affection. And if they ain't getting that, they're going to burn the house down. Now, they will give you that loyalty, but you've got to make them feel like they are number one. If you give them, throw them shade or don't make them feel like they're number one, they start to get insecure. And when they get insecure, they're going to roar and you're going to hear it. Ready to move on? Any questions about Leo? You're so quiet. You're so well behaved. This is so aroused. What? How many members are in here tonight? You're being very well behaved. Oh, come on, play with me. Give me some feed, feed me, feed me. Yeah. All right, okay. Carolina, Carolina, back in the house. Okay, who should we do next then? Okay, we'll do earth signs. Let's do Taurus. All right. Now then, how to piss a Taurus off? Eat from their plate. touch their things. Taurus would rather buy you a plate of your own stuff rather than share a dessert with you. And also, if you touch their things, they would also prefer that you bought your own also. Don't touch their things. Not a good idea. What, would you agree, the Taurus at the back? Semi. Well, we've all got Taurus in our chart. Now, Taurus is ruled by Venus, and Venus is the god or goddess of beauty and love. And there's no more beautiful energy than Taurus, right? They actually, you know, they shine with goodness. They're gracious. They recognize talent in others. They're absolutely amazing until they get hungry. I've got a son, and he's got the moon in Taurus. And whenever we used to be having tricky conversations, I used to have to give him some food and then talk to him. And he used to say to me, he must have been 9 years old, and he used to say to me, "Where's my dinner?" I used to say, "Well, I don't know, in the fridge." And he'd say, because I was about 12 at the time, he'd be like, "It's your job, woman." That's Taurus. Don't mess with their food. Now, Taurus is ruled by Venus. I have another theory. I believe that Taurus is actually co-ruled by the Earth, and Taurus needs a lot of space. If they don't get a lot of space, if they're constantly inside boxes, inside cars, inside tubes, inside houses, in front of computer screens, they get really tetchy, and they it's really impossible for them to reach their authentic selves, so to speak. So they're bulls. They need to go out, and they need pasture. Now, if you think that Aries, the ram, has a bad temper, if you cross a Taurus in the wrong way, would you ever get in a field with a raging bull? You'll lose your limbs. Like, seriously, they'll tear you from limb to limb, but usually with clever communication. Like Virgo, tear you down. Don't even realize it until like four parts of you just fall off. That's Taurus. Taurus is ruled by the Earth, so it's very important that they get outside, spend time in nature, and not be around too many people all of the time. Otherwise, they get overstimulated, and then they lose. Taurus is actually one of the most talented zodiac signs. Leonardo da Vinci was a Taurus, and I think he is responsible for pioneering many, many of the greatest inventions of our time, even though he didn't actually realize them. They were only realized many years later, but from his drawings. So Taurus is usually multi-skilled, multi-talented, multifaceted. How are they in love? Possessive. Don't touch my things. Don't touch my person. Don't do it. They get jealous. I'm sorry to say it, and I'm sorry. I know you're at the back, and I don't mean to offend you, but I've got to be truthful. They don't like it. It's like they get the green-eyed monster and they get a little bit jealous, but only when they're feeling insecure. So if you've got a partner that's a bit flirtatious, probably an air sign, then it might not work until you have these communications with them, like deep communications, because they just want to be free, and they'll just get worse and worse and worse, especially if you're dealing with an Aquarian, they'll just rebel. Libra, quite good. Libra, because you're both ruled by the same planet. Anyway. Next, right, let's do the Earth sign. Let's do Capricorn. How to piss off a Capricorn. Have we got any Capricorns in the house? Yeah. Perfect. How to piss off a Capricorn. Has anyone got any ideas? Call them unprofessional. If you call a Capricorn unprofessional, you're dead to them. Literally, you may as well have just put your name on the gravestone. Seriously, if you call them shit at their jobs or unprofessional, they don't like it. Would you agree, Capricorns? Capricorn is the 10th sign of the zodiac. 10th house is all is because all the houses, right, the signs always come in threes, right? So you've got your star sign, you've got the sign that it's in, and you've also got the house that it lives in. So everything goes in threes. I actually called it the magic three, but then someone popularized it and called it the big three. Big three came from me. Actually, magic three in the signs. I published it in 2017, but hey, I'm not bitter. Only slightly. Like, do you know, I've only made millions, then fair enough. But, you know, come on, like, credit people. So anyway, big three, magic three, doesn't really matter. For the points and purposes of this talk, everything comes in threes. So Capricorn lives in the 10th house. The 10th house is the house of commitment. It's the house of responsibility. It's the house of the public. It's also ruled by Saturn, and Saturn is a hard taskmaster. Capricorns are usually born very wise, and then they get younger as they age. So they're usually quite serious unless they've got neighboring signs, Sagittarius or Aquarius, in their chart, and then they can lighten up a little bit. But it's hard work being a Capricorn because they're very hard on themselves. Would you agree with that? Yeah. So cut them a little slack, I think. Capricorns in love. Should we talk about that? Right, Capricorns in love are absolutely amazing as long as you make them look good. If you cause them any trouble that doesn't make them look good, they're going to leave you high and dry. You cannot embarrass a Capricorn. If you're needy, I don't think there's any such thing as being needy. I think if your partner is needy, there's something you're doing wrong, really. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they're craving something and you can talk about it and communicate and like level up. But anyway, Capricorns, if you're too needy or you mess with their career or make them look stupid, they go cold. Saturn is a cold planet, but they can be a little austere. But how they are in love is that's basically it. As long as you make them look good, as long as you can help them in their career, as long as you can support them, then Capricorn gone wrong is all about the trophy partner. Capricorn gone right is all about someone you can build something together with. They're the builders. They will build an empire, literally. When I was saying earlier on, thank you for taking time out from world domination, I meant it. Alongside Virgo and Taurus, of course. Now, I think that's it. Any questions on Capricorn? Is there anything I forgot? Let me just ask. Nope. I think we can move on. Oh, one more thing. Capricorns like the finer things in life, but you're not going to see them with any labels hanging off the place. Oh, no. Everything they have is usually pretty expensive, but there's no blingy labels. That's more like, sorry to say, Sagittarius or Leo, or do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like you can just bet your bottom dollar that what Capricorn is wearing is expensive, but it won't be shouting from the rooftops. You just know. Finer things in life they like, and that goes for everything. Partners, food, housing, memberships. Are you a member? I bet you will be. It's coming. That's very Capricorn. It's coming. What, world domination? I'm scared. Okay, so next one, Virgo. All right, any Virgos in the house? Perfect. All right. Now then, Virgo is ruled by Mercury. But the thing is that I believe that Virgo is co-ruled, actually, by Chiron. And Chiron is the karmic wounded healer. Now, Virgos, along with Scorpios, get the worst PR in the zodiac. Like, literally, they do. As soon as you say you're a Scorpio, everyone goes, ooh, stinger. It's like when they say to me, how's Uranus? It's like, you've got to get a good line for that one. Any Scorpios in the house? We'll talk about that. Okay, so Virgos also get pretty bad rep. They say, oh, you're so controlling, but you are. However, Carolina's in the house now. It's only because you're terrified of being vulnerable. So that's why you micromanage everything and control things. And the way to actually counteract that is to recognize your fear and say, look, I'm just afraid of being vulnerable here, and or I'm afraid of failing, or I'm afraid of, just say that word, afraid, especially in your workplace, I'm afraid, or I'm just worried that this is going to happen, and then it'll stop people from railing against you, because it's like Virgo will micromanage things. It's like they're moving things around on the table and putting everything back in their OCD ways, and the roof's caving in. It's like, Virgo, it's time to abort the mission. Oh, but the glass, the glass, it's got condensation on it, right? That's Virgo. Virgo, however, is our founder, Nick Jones. He founded the Soho House, and you couldn't really meet a more Virgo person. I mean, I don't know, the staff here, would you say that you're kind of like, everything is very controlled here. It's like, yeah, pretty much that's what I'm trying. So it's like but they are focused on service. So they give the best actual service, and that's what they want to give. And they micromanage because they're terrified of being taken advantage of also. So best way to say with a Virgo is like, what are you afraid of? And what are you afraid of? And what's your biggest fear? What's the worst thing that can possibly happen? Virgo gone wrong is super controlling. They're also critical. And I always say that instead of having, you know, you've got Sagittarius with that archer's bow, right? Virgo's got samurai sword for a tongue. OMG. Like, literally, because they're ruled by Mercury, the sign of communication. When they're ready, they cut you down the middle, slice you down, and then wonder why you don't want to go anywhere near them, right? It's like not like Scorpio. Scorpio can get your power. Like Scorpio, when Scorpio goes wrong, it's almost like they can say something to really disempower you, and you kind of like you get people that clutch in their solar plexus or automatically clutch their solar plexus. It's like, but with Virgo, it's like clean, it's a cut, and there are, I know quite a few neurosurgeons that are Virgos because you couldn't have Sansarian doing it. Sansarian would be going, oh my God, did I hurt you? They're unconscious. Oh, there's blood. Virgo's like, cut there, sew there, do this, do that. We need Virgo energy. However, they're incredibly hard on themselves. So it's very important that when you're trying to micromanage things, you don't micromanage things too much. And you just say, listen, I'm just afraid that we're going to do this or we're not going to do that. So you can stop alienating people. Because I think life can be pretty difficult for a Virgo. Agreed? Okay, so we've done Capricorn, we've done Taurus. Oh, you nearly got away with it then. How to piss off a Virgo. I think I've done that, haven't I? How to piss off a Virgo. Tell them they are irrational, not practical, and nothing is perfect, because they're always striving for perfection. All right, so we've done Earth signs. Who's next then? Air, should we do Air signs? Virgo in love, yeah. You sure? Are you sure? Very brave. Virgo in love is not particularly spontaneous. So if they're with a spontaneous partner, this could really upset someone who's trying to be romantic. This is a Virgo, right? You got, let's, it's a Gemini. Got Gemini. Gemini's like, get your passport. We're going away on Friday. Virgo's like, what time on Friday? What will I need? What's the weather going to be like? Where, how far are we going? What kind of petrol are we using? Who's going in the car? Who's going to be there? What's the dress code? Are we going to be seeing any other people? The Gemini's got well pissed off and taken someone else. Do you get it?
Oh, my God.
Okay, spontaneity. Button the lip. And also, like, what is it with Virgos and those long text messages? They're emails. Text messages are supposed to be 3 sentences long, agreed? Virgos send, like, Virgos and Geminis, it's like, I've lost the will to live. Do you remember when we went on holiday with a Virgo? The schedule. We just got pissed and ran off, didn't we? Disappeared in Tulum. The biosphere, gone with the wind we were, and then you made me go diving with sharks. Yeah, thanks for that. Anyway, deal with enough of them in my daily routine. So, all right. So we've done the earth signs. Have we done the earth signs? Yeah, I think we should do water signs. We'll save the best for last. I'm just kidding. It's because I'm an Aquarius. I'm being elitist and my spiritual ego is taking over again. I'll trip over there in a minute and like my whole top will fall off. Luckily, there's no cowpat in the room, hopefully. It's run by a Virgo, so I doubt it. Anyhow, my point is, let's just talk about water signs. I want to talk about Sansarians. So Sansarians are the guardians of the zodiac. How to piss off a Sansarian. I say Sansarian because I just prefer it, and you can call it Cancerian if you want, but I think Cancer is a really shitty word, so I like Sansarian better. So Sansarians are called the guardian. How to piss off a Sansarian? Anyone want to take a guess? I might save that for later. There's one glaring at me. Getting scared now. I might have to put my jacket back on. I'm feeling all vulnerable. Put my big girl pants on. How to piss off a Cancerian, Sansarian. Tell them sensitivity is not a superpower. It kind of is, as long as it's married with wisdom. And sensitivity, as long as it's married with wisdom, is a superpower. Otherwise, it's being defensive and taking things personal, which is what Sansarians do wrong. We've all got that somewhere in our chart. So if you've got someone who takes things personally and gets defensive, listen, I've worked with people and the Sansarians are the most amazing people in the zodiac. But if they're not evolved and they take everything personally, they are absolutely exhausting. Exhausting. It's like you can't do it. You just have to need to work with a Virgo or a Capricorn instead. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So it's like if you do take things personally, you've got Sansarian going on somewhere in your chart, it's really important that you work on yourself because not everything is about you. I definitely don't mean you. Collective you. We, right? We've all got that somewhere in our charts. I'll give you an example. You tell someone every day they're Sansarian. Oh, you look so beautiful today. I love your hair. It's absolutely gorgeous. Then one day, no one says to them that they look beautiful. They're in that mirror. Don't I look beautiful today? I mean, what? Like, seriously? Is my hair not done? Like, what's going on? What's going on? What they don't realise is you just found out your partner's cheating on you, right? Your house got burgled and your kid's been done for illegal graffiti. Not all about you. Do you see what I'm trying to say? That's the whole Sansarian thing. Sansarian gone right is the super creative, ruled by the moon. The moon is the nurturer. They can read a room in seconds, give you feedback. They got emotional intelligence like no other sign. Any Sansarians here tonight? Perfect. Okay, so the best way to deal with your sensitivity is to marry it with wisdom and also to play tennis more with life, which is basically, what do you mean by that? Because in about 20 seconds flat, I'm about to take it personally and you don't want that to happen because I'm going to explode. And I don't mean in a good way, like they sing about it. What's her name? Lupe Fiasco. Exploding? Nah, it's not good. More like implode, right? So it's like, I'm going to take it personally. I don't want to take it personally. So what do you mean by that? Can you explain more? The thing about Cancerians is that they are sensitive, but they can read the room and they can tune into people. But a lot of people are not in tune with themselves emotionally. So they say things that they don't necessarily mean. And we all talk too much. I think that if there was a God, not sure about that. Jury's out. Been with Tibetan Buddhist too long, I have, right? Did grow up like in Roman Catholic boarding school, like literally trained by my nuns. And I miss God. I got to tell you, I love the fact that I could just go to confession and all my sins would be forgiven. It ain't quite like that. Karma is a bitch. I don't care. Everyone can say that it's not, but it really is. Anyway, I digress. Cancerians, back to the room. So, super sensitive, marry it with wisdom, play tennis more with life, the most creative signs in the zodiac. They have emotional intelligence like no other. They can read a room, they can read intuition unless they're tired. If they're tired, they get crabby and cranky and then they're an absolute nightmare. Ringing true? Just a little bit? Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so what else? Very family orientated though. Like, what's that? The Godfather. Family, we're family. It's like, if only known them a strawberry season and already they're your family. I can't stand that. Do you know when you go into a new job and you know you're not their family? You've only been there 3 weeks. Do you know what I mean? They're like, welcome to the family. It's like, really? I got a dysfunctional one at home. I don't want to come to one at work as well. Seriously, just pay me. No more families. Can't say that to a Sansarian though. Anyway, moving on. So next water sign. Let's talk about Scorpio, right? I need a little gong for that. Sansarian in love. All right. Sansarian in love is actually amazing because they take care of you. They're really sensual. They're usually amazing at foreplay, like absolutely amazing. But then they're so good at foreplay that you've usually fallen asleep. It's like someone tickling your fancy for a little bit long. It's like... Too much information? Yeah. Okay. Sansarian in love is great unless you wake them up in the morning. That's not such a great thing. They're not so great in the morning, Sansarians, actually. Would you agree? Nah, they're not great. Morning sex is off. Don't even bother. Like, seriously, like, wine, dine. You've got... The thing about Sansarians is that they've got to be in the mood. It's all about the mood. The only problem is that the moon changes signs every 2.5 hours. I mean, every 2.5 days. They're ruled by the moon, and they change moods every 2.5 seconds. So good luck with that. Read the mood. How about you tell us what the mood is? Make it easier for us. A little, like, sexy time. What are you thinking? Like, should we have a little romance? A little romance? Yes? No? Okay. Maybe? No. All right. Anyway, that's how they are in love. Would you agree? Anything else? Check the mood. You need one of those barometers, don't you, for Sansarians, of the moods. Like, yes, no, maybe, hell no. Don't go there. Don't talk to them. Morning sex is off the agenda. As long as you know that, you can get into a relationship with Sansarian. It's absolutely fine. Nighttime's best for them. You know, moon time, lunar eclipse. Oh, by the way, did you know that years ago, you could actually get off murder for citing lunacy in England. It's true. We could get away with murder and state that it was a full moon and therefore we were under the effect and basically we were acting like lunatics. I can't remember when they changed that, but it was an actual law. I thought that was really interesting. Just saying for St. Sarans, because when they lose their shit, it's like, people think Scorpios are bad, really? Whatever. Anyway, moving on. So Scorpio, Scorchio. You can see them from a mile off. When we see someone who's really smouldering and really sexy, like we always say, the Scorchio going on in their chart over there. The thing is that still waters run deep. And the thing about Scorpios is that when they're aware, they are amazing because they're in their power, really in their power. When they realize that power comes from source energy, they're not going to try and take yours. If you've got an unevolved Scorpio, they are terrifying because they disempower you. They can disempower you with words. They can be slightly vengeful. I worked on my first book with 3 Scorpios. Honestly, what was? Can you remember what I was like afterwards? They nearly sectioned me. That was just my friends. 3 Scorpios, I worked with them, like literally trying to take possession of the book. I mean, Scorpio gone right, amazing. Scorpio gone wrong, no, they're vengeful. And when they're low and they're not evolved, they basically try and take your power. And it's not good. By the way, did you know that the most serial killers registered are, guess which sign? Sagittarius is number one. Sagittarius is number one, Scorpio is number two, and the next two signs, no, I don't, would you guess? Pisces and Cancer. Sorry, I digress. Is it? That was pretty impressive. That was pretty impressive. Isn't that mad? Sagittarius number one, then Scorpio, Pisces and Sansa. Sansa's got to be a mercy killing, putting you out of your misery. Pisces just because they don't have any boundaries at all. Like, what's a life? Fish, man, woman, them, who cares? Let's just take it. Did you also know that there was a time when there were more Pisceans behind bars than any other sign? Honest, it's true. Anyway, right, where was I? Let me get back to Carolina. Devlina's being very naughty tonight. I haven't even had a drink yet. I'm on the water. Right, where were we? Scorpio. I'm finished with you yet. I'm not finished yet. Scorpio, very, very sexy when they're in their power. If they're not in their power, they can be weak-willed, and this is not good. They've got to stand in their power and work on empowering themselves and not hiding their lights under a bushel because they're terrified of how people will receive them. The one sentence I can give to Scorpio that's going to save your life is check your motivation. It's okay to manipulate people if it's in the face of good. If it's in for a higher greater good. Does that make sense? I know it sounds really wicked, but it's okay to say to someone, if their cholesterol's really high, I'm just using a stupid example here, if their cholesterol's really high and they've got to get off the red meat, it's okay to tell them that the tofu is beef. And if you cook it right, they'll never know. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's all about motivation. So if you check your motivation, that will save your life. So it's okay to be powerful, stand in your power, but just check your motivation and don't worry about hiding your light under a bushel. It's all right. As long as you check your motivation and know that power comes from here, never from another person. No other person can give you power. It's only ever superficial. They can boost your ego and plump your feathers, a little bit like a peacock, but they can never give you power. That power comes from source energy. What is that source energy? Ooh, that's for another night. Anyway, moving on. Where were we? Scorpio. Let me just see if there's anything else I need to say about them. Yeah, so we've all got Scorpio somewhere in our chart, and Scorpio is ruled by Pluto. Pluto is a relatively new planet. It's not a planet, it's an asteroid. Then it was a dwarf planet, then it was an asteroid again. No one can make their minds up. What I will say is that what do they usually do with people with lots of power? Try and disempower them, right? Dwarf planet, asteroid, planet. It's never been a planet. Can you see what I'm trying to say? But Pluto, they say that Mars is the ruler of Scorpio, but actually it's Pluto. And Pluto, I can tell you, is real. And Pluto transits are also real. Transits are when things move around in the sky and they hit our charts at different times. Just like once a year, sun moves into your sign, and that's your solar return. The moon moves into your sign once a month, so it's good for you to know your moon sign. Pluto is also in all of our charts somewhere. And if you look at where it is and what sign it's in, it basically shows you where your motivation lies. So Scorpio is great at giving people motivation, but they've got to get their own power first. Got to work on power. That's a key word for you. Scorpios also have a very intense life. They've usually experienced the process of birth, death, transformation more than most from quite a young age, actually. Because they've got to learn how to handle power, you see. Otherwise, it's like giving the keys to a Ferrari to someone that's just passed their test. It's not a good idea, is it? Anyway, I've come out of that relatively unscathed. Scorpio. I really need to drink. How many have we got left? Scorpio in love. All right, let's talk about Scorpio in love. Scorpio, when they're in love, can literally love you to death. But they make you feel like you are the all-encompassing person. The one thing about Scorpio in love is that they can go down a rabbit hole with obsession. So it's really important that they don't go down the rabbit hole with obsession. The thing is, right, talk about soulmates, yeah? That's a Scorpio thing. Scorpios are looking for soulmates. We have been on this planet, I would say with good authority, that we've been on this planet many, many, many times. The whole process of birth, aging, sickness, death, rebirth, aging, sickness, death goes on and on and on and on and on and on, right? So soulmates, we've met quite a few in our lives. The thing about Scorpio, is that they meet someone, they get a read on them, and they can feel that past life connection with them. So then instead of, they jump in with 2 feet. And you can't do that. Like, I know this is going to sound really old-fashioned, but I don't even think you should kiss someone on the first date. You should get to know them first, even if you've got that glimmer that's going on, like past life. You don't know. They could have been your karmic sworn enemy in a past life. That little birthmark you've got could have been where they jabbed you with a razor. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So that's the thing about Scorpio. They can sometimes go down the rabbit hole and get obsessed really quickly. But they've got to be a bit more Capricorn about it and be very discerning. So if you ever go down the rabbit hole and get obsessed in love, that's a Scorpio thing. And it's your Pluto or Scorpio in your chart working a little bit adversely. How's that? Make sense? Ring true for anyone? Yeah. Watch out for those soulmates. Like, see those little birthmarks? I'm serious. Could have been where they jabbed you before. Like, get to know people first before you jump in with 2 feet. That's my advice for Scorpio. That's my advice for everybody, because you just don't know people. And the minute that you start kissing or get really intimate, I'm going to sound like your mother here, but maybe I am acting a little bit like your mother in this particular instance. This is definitely Carolina, not Devilina, right? It's almost like you create a false sense of intimacy with someone immediately. And then you have to recycle backwards and then get to know them. And then you're like, you project all of the stuff that you think that person was or is. You've got to give them a chance and give yourself a chance as well. And just say, I really fancy you. I've got amazing chemistry with you, but I think we should just wait. Hold back a bit. And if they don't want to wait, jog on. On to the next you go. Next soulmate, because you've been here so many times, there's probably 2,000 of them around. On Rhea. What's with Rhea anyway? They're all in fucking America. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Had a little looky at my friends, of course. Everyone's in America. Like, we're all over here. This is where it's at. Anyway, Rhea. Anyway, where was I? Oh, next. I think we should move on from Scorpio. I hope that you, I hope that that was helpful for you. I'm going to move on now. I'm going to move on to Pisces. Pisces is ruled by Neptune, and Pisces is the most, I would say, intuitive of the zodiac signs. I mean, I know most of the water signs are super intuitive, but Pisces are super intuitive. And most of the time, they indulge in escapist behavior because of that. Any Pisces in the room? I know, I remember. How many more? Okay, perfect. So it's almost like what tends to happen is they throw themselves into things so that they don't have to get feels, catch feels, read the room, because usually they're incredibly intuitive. So unless you're training it, I would say it's very important for you to train your intuition. And they're usually extremely creative. I call Pisces the artist. Some people call them the piss artists. I don't. I call them the artists. I mean, I'm just being naughty here. Do any Pisces in here that don't drink? I thought you were Sansarian. No, Pisces. Okay, perfect. Have you ever drunk? Barely. Okay, perfect. The thing about Pisces is that they usually see things so clearly that it's kind of painful for them. So until they train their intuition, it's like they don't necessarily have that buffer. They're the artist of the zodiac. They, little story, right? So Michelangelo was Pisces. You know Michelangelo, everyone knows Michelangelo, right? The thing is, he was drafted in by a by someone who had a little vendetta against him. They said, come and do the fresco in the Sistine Chapel. Come on, Michelangelo. Michelangelo was an amazing artist, right? But he was competing against, I think it was Botticelli at the time. And what happened was he couldn't do frescoes, but this guy went to the Pope and they stitched him up and they were basically hoping that he'd fail. So this particular monk kept going in when Michelangelo was doing his stuff on the Sistine Chapel. And he was going back to the Pope and he was saying, Michelangelo is blaspheming. He's putting naked people in heaven, he's putting naked people in hell, he's doing all of these things. Anyway, after about 20 years, which is how long it took him, he managed to get this particular priest banned from his work until it was unveiled. So he was diligent. That's Pisces. When they focus on something, they're absolutely diligent about it, especially if it's to do with the creative process or anything to do with art, right? So anyway, he banned this guy, and when they unveiled it, he had painted this guy, this priest, his likeness behind the door in hell. And it's still in the Sistine Chapel today. When the Pisces, Michelangelo, unveiled it, the Pope, everyone saw this particular priest in hell behind the door in the Sistine Chapel. And he said, hey, you know what? You, that's absolutely terrible. This is blasphemy. I'm a priest. I'm a man of God. And he's painted me and I'm in hell. And the Pope said, I don't have any jurisdiction over hell, because the Pope knew what was going on. The point is, don't ever piss off a Pisces, ever, because they will immortalize you in their art, literally. People think that Scorpio is the only one that holds a grudge. No, Pisces too. Pisces is also like ruled by Neptune. And yes, they're very spiritual. Yes, they are incredibly intuitive and very gentle when they're working right. Gone wrong, it's like a tsunami. They have got tempers. The Pisces I know have big, big tempers. Takes a lot, but they've got it. The gentle side of Pisces is a completely different chariot of carrots entirely. They're super kind, super gentle, very spiritual, and some of the best people on earth. How to piss one off? Ghost them back. Got the little ghosters in the house, haven't we? Oh, I'm sorry I haven't answered your call for the last 6 months. I was kind of hoping you'd get the message. Well, no, you're dealing with a Sagittarian. They don't get the message. You've got to be extremely blunt and shoot them in the eye with the arrow of truth before they actually get it. Not known for their subtleties, Sagittarians. Anyway, moving on. So let's talk about...
Oh, Pisces in love.
Oh. Pisces is looking for a soulmate. And just like fellow water sign Scorpio, they are not going to settle for anything less. However, it's very important that they learn about boundaries. They are learning about boundaries just like their opposite sign, Virgo. So Virgo and Pisces are opposite signs of the zodiac, and they're both learning about boundaries. Virgo sometimes has too many. Pisces doesn't have enough in some ways, unless they've got lots of... Have you ever done your chart? Have you got lots of earth in it as well?
I
don't
have got
many
air.
And do you know what your moon sign is?
Cancer.
Have you ever done your chart? Yeah. Do you know what your moon sign is? That's okay. So Pisces in love, they're looking for a soulmate union. If you want to woo a Pisces, it's really important that you try with the romance. They might bat you off at first because they are quite shy. But if you try three times, I always say it's like a boiled egg. Tap once, take the rebuff. Take twice, take the rebuff. Tap three times and you're in. That's how to get to romance a Pisces. And I think we're on to our last three now. It's getting a bit long now, isn't it? We need a bit more air in here. Should we play a little song first? Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Onto the air signs I go because I'm getting dirty looks from Mr. Gemini. I'm really joking. I'm joking. I hope that this has been high vibe for you enough. I know that you're very high vibrational, but I have to bring some laughter and jokes into it as well. Otherwise, there's just no point. It's like life is just too short to be too serious, I find. Right, without further ado, let's start with Libra. Any Librans in the house tonight? Perfect. Okay, so Libra is the opposite sign of Aries, and they're both learning about peace. Now, Libra is also ruled by Venus, and usually they're rather fair of face, and it's not even a stereotype. If they're not physically beautiful to look at, they've got beautiful energy. The thing about Librans is it is true, they are not particularly brilliant with making decisions. This is because they weigh up the pros and the cons of all everything that could possibly happen, and by the time they come to a decision, everyone's exhausted or gone home. Literally. It's like they are, but they're very fair and they want everything to be fair for everybody, so much so that it's like, oh my God. Like, seriously, will you just do something wicked for once, Libra? Please, we're waiting. They're pretty good people, unless they've got lots of neighbouring signs Scorpio in their chart, and then they can be slightly wicked too. Right? They've got the devil in them somewhere. Libra, ruled by Venus, goddess of beauty, love, creativity, and they're usually pretty fair of face. Very fair, very just. They're usually quite learned, but they need to be in partnerships, and this can sometimes get them into trouble. Yeah. Gemini and Aquarius, that they're not the same. Libra's kind of a little bit like the odd one out, is more a bit more like an earth sign in that respect, because they need to be in a union with someone. And their need to be in a union with someone is can sometimes be a little bit tricky, because if they're ending a relationship or a relationship is going bad, they're usually ending up the next one to jump into. Frying pan, I mean. That's Libra. But when they're working well and when they're with a wonderful Aries, they're super happy and everything is hunky-dory. Got my friends in the front giving me daggers here. Okay, any questions on Libra? Libra in love. I just said that. Basically, when they're in love, they need to be in a relationship. So that need can sometimes get them into trouble, because if they are not evolved, they will accept less than they should. Right? So sometimes Librans just need to be on their own and to learn about how to be peaceful on their own, rather than making it a real mission to be in, need to be in a relationship with someone else, because sometimes those relationships are not the right kind of relationships. And the thing about Libra is when they meet people, they've got this superpower of being able to read what that person needs and what that person wants. And that can sometimes be bad, because what tends to happen then is 8 months down the line or 18 years down the line, they're like, what about my needs? Why aren't my needs getting met? Because they haven't expressed them. What they've done is basically mirrored the person in front of them, because that's their superpower, and basically been that person for them. And then 18 years later, they realize that they're blaming the other person, because Libras can sometimes do that, blame the other person. Sorry to say it. I know that you're a child of Venus and all that, and you are very beautiful, but I've got to do the gone wrongs as well, right? And so basically that's the bad thing about them being in love. In love, though, they're all encompassing. They like being in a partnership. It's like if you're in a relationship with a Libra, if you're an Aquarius, that's kind of tricky, really, because Aquarius is like, I'm off to the monastery. I'm going for 4 weeks. I'll be back in 6 months' time. And the only thing I'm taking is the animals. And the Libra's like, but what about me? I thought we were going to do something together. So it's kind of tricky. You have to get the balance right. So Libra has to get their own balance right, and not necessarily just need to be in a partnership, any partnership. And if that partnership is not working, they start lining up the next one to jump into. How to piss a Libra off? Tell them they're not just. Tell them they are not just and they're not fair. They're unfair. That's one of the worst things to say to them. They are unfair. Okay, so I think we've got two left now, right? Yeah? Who's next? Gemini. Okay, let's talk about Gemini. Gemini is ruled by Mercury, and they are the strategists, the born thinkers of the zodiac. They are the minds. Have you ever seen that? The bronze of the guy, the thinker, that's definitely Gemini. They are so clever and so witty. They've got such agile minds that they can think about things in a heartbeat. They also rule public relations and anything to do with communications. However, gone wrong, they can sometimes be a little bit scatterbrained and not very great with commitment. They're not so great with commitment. I'm sure that the people in this room, how many Geminis are in here? I'm sure that the people in this room are completely different, but Gemini, it's like being in a relationship with a Gemini can sometimes be like, do you know that song? Oh, the okie-kokie. Oh, the okie-kokie. They put the left leg in, the left leg out, in, out, in, out. What the fuck is it all about? A situationship. They're perfectly brilliant at situationships. But relationships is kind of a little bit more difficult. Unless they are the evolved Gemini who have got much more earth in their charts. And then commitment is great. Two of my best friends have been married for 20 years. Their relationship is a 10 out of 10. It's absolutely incredible. He's Gemini, she's Aquarius. Absolutely amazing. And they broke all of the molds. So I'm being kind of facetious here and just having a little laugh with you. It can happen and it can work, but they've both got to be working on themselves and they've both got to be evolved. If you've got an unevolved Gemini in the house, you're going to get a situationship and that's as much as you're going to get. And there's no amount of caring and loving that you can do that will change that situation. They have to evolve. If they're evolved, everything is wonderful, tickety-boo. Otherwise, the okie-cokie. All right, so last but not least, Aquarius. How many Aquarians in the house? Okay, brilliant. Okay, so I say I leave the best until last. Now, we are actually in the age of Aquarius at the moment, and the reason I say this is because in 2020, the same alignment, it was a mirrored alignment actually, kicked in that we saw in the 1960s. And as you know, in the 1960s, it was a time of great civil unrest, but it was also a time of progress in many ways. The Civil Rights Act was finally enacted in 1964 after the Civil Rights Movement. It was all about tolerance, it was about progression, it was about equality. And in 2020, the same planets moved into the same place they were, which was in Aquarius, which was basically reviewing how far we'd actually come, which wasn't far enough. I mean, we're doing better, but we haven't come far enough, as far as I'm concerned. But we're working on it, and we've got to stay positive, and we've got to keep our vibrations high, and that's what Aquarius is here to do. They're here to make a difference. They're here to work on things. They're here to raise the vibrations. They're here to be the messengers of truth, but they've got to work on their own minds first of all because they're a very cerebral sign. Aquarius in love. Now, that's a tricky one. You've got to be their friend first. Friends, and then friends turn into something else. But they're also usually friends with all their exes. So if they're with a Taurian partner, that doesn't really go so well. Or a Scorpio partner. Sorry, Miss Scorpio in the front. How to piss off an Aquarius? Tell them they're stereotypical. Tell them they're ordinary and not special. They'll freak. They're usually extremely quirky. This is because their ruling planet is Uranus. Sorry, guys, I had to say it one more time before we close. Their ruling planet is Uranus, and whilst all the other planets go around in a normal orbit, Uranus flip-flops on its side. Aquarius in love, you've got to be their friends first. If you give them lots of freedom, they'll stick around. If you try and control them, micromanage them, or keep them in a box, they'll leave you. They don't mind being on their own. They're perfectly happy in their own company. They are the signs, along with Pisces, that have their phones on do not disturb all the time. Please do not disturb my peace. Do not disturb me. Do not disturb my vibe. Do not disturb my peace. Unless I've got an hour for you, unless you're my family, and then I'll give you an hour on a Sunday. But that's it. Aquarians are ruthless. Don't get it twisted. They are. Everyone says, oh my God, they're the humanitarians of the zodiac. To be a humanitarian, you've got to be ruthless. And ruthless was your time. So without further ado, I bid you good night and thank you for having me, everybody.